you, choir. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn, please, to Jonah, chapter 1. Our text today, Jonah 1, 17 through chapter 2, verse 1. Only a couple of verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we open your word with a prayer that you would open our hearts. Lord, that you would open our ears, open our eyes, open up our mind. Lord, open our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might draw close to you as we hear your word. Lord, let us hear the true preacher of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open our ears that we may hear indeed your word. Open our eyes that we might see Christ, even in this very familiar story that we have here before us. Point us to Christ, our Savior. Lord, open our minds to understand what you have for us this day. Lord, our prayer, as always, is that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, our text today is probably the most familiar and the most interesting to some people. Part of the story of Jonah. Jonah is swallowed by a great fish and is in the belly of the fish, literally in the stomach of the fish, 3 days and three nights. Now, let me say this. I'm going out on a theological limb today. I'm also going out on an exegetical limb. If you've been waiting for the time in which you can look at the notes in your Bible or commentary or what biblical scholars have said and find that they said something different than the preacher, this is your chance. So pay attention. Last week, we saw that Jonah was finally hurled overboard by the sailors. But, it says, God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is God's doing. God provided this. We saw, and I made the point several weeks ago, that the power of God is what stands behind the presentation in this book. God hurled the storm upon the sea. God determined that the lot would fall to Jonah. When the sailors decided that they would save Jonah and rowed ashore, God intensified the ferocity of the storm. And now God has provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. From the simplest thing, from the casting of a lot, from the turning over of a die to land on a certain number, to the ferocity of the storm, to providing a fish big enough to swallow a man whole, all this is the power of God at work. And that's the theological limb I want to go out on. And that's not such a big risk, is it? In fact, that's no risk at all. The power of God is supreme. His sovereignty over all things is obvious to anyone who reads and understands the Scripture. But I might be going out on something of an interpretive or expository limb in some of the things I'm going to say to you, which I will tell you in a little bit. And I find myself on this limb alone. At least I can't find anyone who particularly agrees with me in this. But be that as it may, we will discuss that in a moment. But the first thing I want to say is that there are numbers of citations, there are numbers of tales and legends about men being swallowed by whales and vomited out or found alive in the whale when the whale was cut up some days later. Even Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket and Geppetto were in the belly of Monstro the whale, rowboat and all, in Walt Disney's Pinocchio. But everyone knows that's not true. But there is a story about an English sailor named James Bartley who was swallowed by a sperm whale off the Falkland Islands in the 1890s. Bartley was one of the men in the longboat who were out harpooning the whale. The whale turned on them, smashed the boat to pieces, and they never found Bartley, assumed that he drowned. Well, a couple days later, they killed the whale. A couple days later, as they're busy cutting it up, getting the blubber, Bartley is found in the stomach of the whale, unconscious, quite mad for several weeks, but alive. There's a more recent story of a Japanese whaler who suffered a similar fate. But my problem with all these stories is I think they prove just a little bit too much. Because if these stories are true, Pinocchio accepted, but if these stories are true, all it proves, if it proves anything at all, is that what happened to Jonah was in the natural course of events that could happen to anyone, to James Bartley or to the Japanese fisherman. But the problem with that is, I think far too many Christians are much more comfortable with that approach. That what we have here is proof of the Scripture because it happened another time. That we can believe the Scripture because of what happened to James Bartley. And I don't like that approach. If you know me well, you know that. The proof of the Scripture is in the reading and the saying. God said it, and that proves it. But as I said, most Christians are a lot more comfortable with the idea that what God said can be attributed or traced to things that can and do happen in nature. So what I would say to you this morning is where I differ from just about all the exposition, all the commentaries you'll find on this, is I do believe that Jonah was thrown overboard. I believe he was swallowed by a great fish. He was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights, dead. How can I say that? You might ask. How can I say that? Well, first and foremost, the text never says he's alive. Read it closely, word for word. It never says he's alive. That's an assumption that people make because Jonah prayed from the belly of the whale. And what stands behind that assumption is another piece of misinformation or a bad assumption, is that death is this nothingness or this annihilation or this unconsciousness or this sleep. But Jesus is very clear in the story of rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 that after death, the rich man sees people in paradise while he's in hell. There's conversation, there's seeing, there's talking, there's memory, there's suffering, there's listening, there's even begging. So to say that because Jonah prayed means he's alive, I think is making a great assumption on folks' part. The other thing that we assume is because Jonah was swallowed alive, which the text does not say, is that he remained alive. And again, that's just an assumption. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his men who rebelled against Moses, Korah and his men and their wives and their children were all swallowed up by the earth. And you'll look in verse 33 of that chapter and you'll see that they were swallowed up alive. They went down alive into Sheol. That in no way implies that they're still alive there. Sheol is the grave, the place of the dead. We will talk about that more in just a second. But to assume that Jonah was alive, that he was swallowed alive, that he means he's still alive, is just that. It's just an assumption. And it's been backed up by many, many people through the years. And, well, let me just point out a couple of things to you. Look at Jonah's prayer, which we'll deal with more next week. Verse 2 says, "From the depths of the grave I call for help." Verse 4, "I've been banished from your sight." Verse 6, "The earth barred me in forever." End of verse 6, "You brought my life up from the pit." Verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I prayed to the Lord." These sayings, most people say, well, those are metaphorical, talking about his imprisonment in the belly of the whale. Well, I find it odd that the sea is real and the fish is real and the seaweed in the prayer is real, but all these things are metaphorical. You can't have it both ways. So I would say to you that there is much more in Jonah's prayer that indicates he was dead than indicates that he was alive. So what does that matter? Well, just this. If these things, like the story of James Bartley, are true, what does that prove? Well, it proves that what happened to Jonah can happen to someone else. Jonah's dead. What does it prove? It proves that only the Lord God Almighty can do this. This is God's power on display. The same power that hurled the storm upon the sea, the same power that calmed that storm in an instant, the same power can raise to life a rebellious prophet. Let me give you one other instance that I think bears on this greatly, in my opinion. We read in the New Testament reading this morning the words of Jesus. He said, "Just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." Well, that word, "just as," that's one word in the Greek. The word is hosper, and it is what we call a particle, part of speech. And when a comparative clause is introduced by a particle, the particle modifies the verb in the main clause as to manner or circumstance. What was the manner? What was the circumstance of Jesus' sojourn in the earth for 3 days? He was dead, dare I say, just as Jonah was dead in the belly of the whale. It's not just talking about the time. The time is as Jonah was. How was he? He was dead. Jesus was dead. What stands behind all this is the authority and sovereignty and the power of God. It is God who does these things. It is God who hurled the storm upon the sea. It is God who determined the falling of the lot to Jonah. It is God who increased the ferocity of the storm. It is God who provided the great fish to swallow Jonah. It is God who is sovereign over heaven and earth and sky and sea and all that is in them. And that includes Sheol, the place of the grave. It includes heaven and hell and all that is in them. He is the Lord of all. And He can reach into the grave anytime He pleases and pull one out of there. He has demonstrated that time and time again in the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul was raised from the dead after he was stoned to death at Lystra. The Shunammite's woman's son was raised from the dead. The son of the woman at Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath, her son was raised from the dead. We can name other examples on and on. And God can reach into the grave and pull out a rebellious prophet if He so determines. This is the sovereign Lord of the universe. And when He acts, axe heads float on water. When He acts, a prophet is taken into heaven in a fiery chariot. When He acts, rivers and seas are parted, and His people walk through on dry land. And when He acts, if He so determines, He raises the dead. That's why I say to you that all these things that we've mentioned just briefly, the James Bartley and the Japanese sailor, all these things prove a little too much to suit me. They prove that this is not an act of God. This is just something that could and might happen. There are problems with the James Bartley story. There are quite a few inconsistencies, factual inconsistencies. If you believe such as that, and by the way, that's been quoted. There have been far more sermons that talked about James Bartley and talked about the possibility that this is not beyond the realm of possibility, and talked about the sovereignty of God in this. So if you believe James Bartley's story, even though there's problems with it, if you believe the story of the Japanese sailor, which has been pretty much relegated to the status of a tall tale, or if you believe Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket, you miss the point. My God is sovereign over heaven and earth and sky and sea and hell and Sheol and all that is in them. That's the point. And God is the one who has done this. He has arrested Jonah's flight. Jonah rebels against God, buys his ticket, on his way to Tarshish, and God says, not so fast. You're not going there. I told you last week, I think Jonah wanted to go into the sea because he'd rather be dead than go to Tarshish. God says, not so fast. Maybe you will be dead, but I have plans for you. It is God who does this. It is God who sends the fish. And then finally, after all this, Jonah prays to the Lord. We have no record that in all the things that went on, Jonah so much as offered up one word of prayer to the Lord. Seems rather odd with all these things that are happening that he doesn't pray, being a prophet of God. But you've probably experienced the same thing. When you're doing just the opposite of what you know that God wants you to do, if you're doing just the opposite of what God commands in His Word that you should do, if you're running away from what God has sent you to do, He's probably the last person you want to talk to. And that's Jonah's predicament. But now that he is barred in with no hope of escape, look there in the verse 6 in his prayer. The earth beneath barred me in forever. That barred in speaks of bars or gates beyond which one cannot pass. Jonah, I contend, is dead. And he's stuck. He's not going anywhere. And is in that state that he finally cries out to the Lord. But to Jonah's credit, it is at that very point that his faith bursts forth. And he knows that regardless of the circumstance, regardless of how desperate it is, even in death, that God is able to deliver. That God's power is supreme. And Jonah knows that and cries out to God from the belly of the fish. He prayed to God. Some of you are running from God. Some of you are going in the opposite direction than what you know God wants you to do. Some of you are asleep right now, and God is hurling a great storm in your path. Some of you are in the storm at this very moment. Some of you find yourself hemmed up by God, kind of like Jonah. No matter which way you turn, there's no escape. You see, after all I've told you about Jonah being dead and all that, let me say this. In this regard, I'm talking about what we're talking about right now, in the regard to Jonah, it makes no difference whether he's in the belly of the fish alive or whether he's dead. Because he's not going anywhere until God acts. Now, I think there are other reasons that some of this is important. But see, you may find yourself in the belly of the fish. You may be hemmed in by God on every side. No matter which way you turn, you find yourself stopped, hemmed in, unable to go. And it's only God who can deliver you from the belly of the fish. It's only God who can deliver you from Sheol, where Jonah finds himself, I contend. It's only God who can do that. And it is the prayer of faith that you need to utter. It's the prayer of faith that you need to cry out to God. It's the prayer of faith that knows that the God you serve is the God who can deliver from any circumstance, anything, not just a fish, but even death itself. There may be one here today who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There may be one here who doesn't realize that he is hemmed in by God. Their life may be perfect. Everything may be going just great. But as Jonathan Edwards said, they're walking this very moment on a spider web, a fine, thin spider web stretched over the mouth of hell. And they're hemmed in, know it or not, because there's no escape. The very strand on which they're standing right now could break at any second. They could be plunged into hell forever. So they're hemmed in, And there's no way to get out except by the prayer of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of sinners. Faith in Jesus Christ's completed work on the cross as the perfect atonement for their sin. Faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to their account so that they may stand before a holy God. Faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation as He's offered in the gospel. Jonah was running from God, and God arrested him, stopped him, and hemmed him in on every side, where all he could do was cry out to God. Are you running from God? You will find yourself hemmed in. You will not do as you please. Will you cry out to God today from wherever you might be? Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that in the most simple and the most fantastic ways, you prove yourself over and over to be the sovereign Lord of the universe, our great God and Savior, Lord, the one who controls everything. And Lord, it is in that great assurance that we rest, that the God we serve, the God to whom we have entrusted our eternal security, is able to do all things. For nothing is impossible with you. And Lord, help us to live in light of that. Lord, help us, no matter what the difficulties we face, no matter where we find ourselves, hemmed in, assaulted, no matter what the storms of life may be, Lord, help us always to remember to lift up that prayer of faith to you, the faith that knows that all these things are in your hand and that you alone can deliver. And Lord, if there is one here today who does not know you as Lord and Savior, they don't even know they're hemmed in, Lord, open their eyes that they might see the peril right below them. Lord, open their eyes and change their hearts that they might believe and be saved. Lord, we thank you that you are an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, all-sufficient God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.